This morning we'd like to look at Joshua chapter 21, beginning with verse 43. Joshua 21, 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. What a tremendous witness this is to the faithfulness of God in keeping his word. It was about 476 years earlier when Abraham was standing there at Bethel, having come to a parting of the ways with his nephew Lot. He was probably a little dejected. Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. That one who was closest to him, his nephew Lot, has chosen to take the area of the Jordan Valley, and he is left now with his cattle and his servants. And as Abraham is standing there, perhaps a little dejected, head down, the Lord said, Abraham, lift up your head and look to the north and the south and the east and the west, and as far as your eye can see, I'm going to give to you and to your descendants this territory for their inheritance, for their possession. So take a look around, Abraham, because I'm giving it all to you and to your descendants. So Abraham looked to the north towards Mount Hermon, to the east towards Mount Gilead, the Moab, to the south, towards the wilderness area of Beersheba, to the west, to the Mediterranean Sea. And Abraham believed God and the promise of God, the covenant that God made with him there. Now, 476 years later, Joshua is standing in the same area. He again has this vantage of looking over the territories. And as he looks around from the north and the south and the east and the west, he realizes that as far as his eye can see, the children of Israel are now dwelling in that land. Up towards Mount Hermon, tribes of Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, Ephraim, Manasseh. Looking over to Gilead and to Moab, Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. As he looks south down towards the Jerusalem range of mountains through Hebron, down to Beersheba, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Dan, tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Judah. Everywhere that he can see now belong to God's people. God has kept his promise. God kept the covenant that he made with Abraham. They now see the fulfillment and thus the witness and the testimony of the faithfulness of God. Not one good thing of God's promises has failed. It has all come to pass. You know, that must have been a rather exciting moment for Joshua, standing there looking around and realizing God has kept his word. God kept the promises to Abraham. God is faithful in keeping his word. Now, some 7 years earlier, as Joshua was still on the other side of the Jordan River. The conquest of the land was still in front of him. And there were certain apprehensions. They had heard about this land. It was inhabited by gigantic men. The cities had high walls that reached to heaven. The people, the inhabitants, were fierce. They were strong. And they surely outnumbered Joshua. But as Joshua was there on the other side 7 years earlier, before he crossed the Jordan, the Lord commanded Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given unto you. There shall not be any man able to stand before you. Fear not, for you shall divide this land for an inheritance for these people." God had kept his word. They had taken all of the cities. They had conquered the giants. Even when the kings joined together in a strong federation and came against them in great multitudes, God delivered them into the hands of Joshua. Not a king or a confederation of kingdoms was able to stand against Joshua. The Lord kept his word. He kept the promise. And every place that Joshua's foot was put down now belonged to the people of God. And Joshua had the glorious thrill of casting lots and dividing the whole land unto the people according to the tribes. And it's now been done. They're now dwelling in their apportioned areas. God has kept his word. In 7 years, they've conquered the whole land, and God's people are now dwelling in the land that he had given to Abraham by promise so many years before. And God has destroyed the kings, even as he promised Joshua. The word of God is faithful. And Joshua makes this testimony: not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. What a powerful witness this is to the faithfulness of God. For you see, God was faithful to his word even though the people were not faithful. The people had broken covenant with God on many occasions. At one point, they were even trying to get someone to lead them back to Egypt. But God kept his word. God was faithful to his promise. Even though they did not believe, God kept his word. We need to realize how certain the word of God is. That God's word is not predicated upon something so tenuous as my faithfulness. But what God has declared, that he shall bring to pass. And if I fail, God will raise up someone else in order to keep his word. God had declared his purposes through the nation of Israel, and there came a time in their history when they were threatened with extinction. The Persian king Ahasuerus had been deceived by one of his right-hand men, Haman, into signing a decree that spelled the death knell to the people of God. On a particular day, throughout all of the kingdom of Persia, the people were to kill every Jew that was in the community. And whoever killed the Jew could have his possessions. This horrible and wicked decree was signed by Ahasuerus. And Mordecai sent a message to Esther, who was married to Ahasuerus. He did not know that she was a Jewess. And he said, "Do you think that you will escape if all of the people perish? You better go in and talk to your husband and have him somehow recant this order." And Esther sent a message back and said, Mordecai, you don't know the protocol of the Persian court. You just don't go in and talk to the king anytime you wish, even though he's your husband. If I go in there without being called, if he doesn't raise his golden scepter, the guards will immediately take off my head. You're asking me to hazard my life. Mordecai sent back the message and said, don't think that you can escape. If this decree goes through, you also will perish. And how do you know but what God has not brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, he said, if you fail God at this point, their deliverance will arise from another quarter. God is going to save his people. God's word is going to come to pass. He'll deliver them through another channel, through another agent, but you will have lost. And so she said, pray for me. I'll go in, and if I perish, I perish. But this confidence that God's going to work. You may fail, Esther, but God won't fail. You may fail, but God's word won't fail. God's word will surely come to pass. And Joshua stood there and gave this glorious witness of the faithfulness of God to keep his word. What Joshua said of God then can be said of God now. God continues to keep his word. Throughout history, God has been faithful to keep his word. God promised that he would send his son to be born of a virgin, to die for the sins of man, in order that he might bring eternal life and redemption. In the book of Isaiah, God promised that a child would be born, a son would be given, his son. The government would be upon his shoulders. He'd be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. A little further on in Isaiah, God said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And further on, Isaiah prophesied, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way, but God laid on him all of our iniquities. For the transgression of my people, he was smitten, and he was numbered with the transgressors in his death. Not one word of God failed. As God had promised, so God fulfilled. God had promised that he would be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and he was. God had promised that they would pluck his beard and spit on his face, that they did. God had declared that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver, that the silver would be thrown down in the house of the Lord and used to buy a potter's field. And when Judas came back with the money that he had received for betraying Jesus, he said, take this money back. I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, that's your problem. And he threw the money on the floor there in the temple. He said, it's not mine, it's your problem. And he went out. And they said, what shall we do with this money? We can't put it back in the treasury. It's blood money. And someone said, let's buy a potter's field. And so what God declared came to pass right down to the last detail. Not a single thing that God had declared failed. God kept his word precisely. God does keep his word. As we look around the world today, we see that God continues to keep his word. God had said to Ezekiel, in the last days, I'm going to gather again my people from all over the world where they've been scattered. And I'm going to establish them in the land once more. And the world will see a miracle, for they will see a nation that will be born in a day. And the world saw that miracle on May the 14th, 1978, when Israel became a nation once again, as God had gathered his people from all over the world where they had been scattered, and he established them in their land once more, and they became a nation, the nation of Israel, in a day, May 14th, 1948. God kept his promise, and God kept his word. God spoke to the mountains of Israel, and he said, "You shall be inhabited." They are now inhabited. We find that God is faithful. He keeps his word. You can trust God to keep his promise. Now, the Lord had spoken of their rebuilding the temple. They haven't done that yet, but watch for that. You're going to see movements in that direction. Don't be surprised when you read about it. It's bound to happen because God is going to keep his word. Your gathering here this morning is a witness to the faithfulness of God to keep his word. God declared that when his own would reject him, that he would stretch out his hands to the Gentiles and that they would receive. And so here we are today, the fulfillment of God's promise to bring salvation unto the Gentiles who would call upon him and worship him. And here we are, worshiping him in fulfillment to the word of God, that which God declared should be. God keeps his word. And what a great hope and assurance this brings to us as children of God. God's word cannot fail. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Again, we are told that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? God will indeed keep his word. And you can stand today in faith on the word of God and be assured that God loves you. And you can be assured that all things are working together for good because you love him and have been called according to his purpose. God keeps his word, which means that our future is just a glorious thing to anticipate. For God has promised that he is going to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we might be also. That we're going to be gathered there in the glory of his presence to live and reign with him forever and ever. And because God has given us his word, you can be sure that this will indeed take place. Now, when Joshua started into the land, he had the word of God. It was not yet fulfilled. But God had declared, "I'm going to give this land to Abraham's descendants. Joshua, you're going to have the privilege of portioning out the inheritance for the people." And now that Joshua has done it, he declares, every good thing that God said, he fulfilled. Not one good word failed. And you know, one day when we stand there together around the throne of God, awed by the glory of the presence of the eternal Creator, and as we look around at the beauty and the glory of God's kingdom, we're going to be saying, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. All has come to pass." You see, this was Joshua's experience. Now he had seen the fulfillment. He looked around and he said, hey, it has all happened. It's all come to pass. What God has declared has all come to pass. And one day, standing in heaven, we'll be able to make that same affirmation of the faithfulness of God. We are here by the grace of God. It's all come to pass, even as God has said. And you can be sure of that. You can be sure that God will keep his word. Now, to the child of God, that brings glorious assurance, brings a blessed hope. But to those who are not a child of God, it brings fear and terror. Because you can be sure that God will keep his word. And God has said that there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. If a man tries to come in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. And if you're seeking eternal life through a progression of reincarnations or through your own good efforts or through any religious system, if you're trusting in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you're going to find one day that God will keep his word and that your righteousness will be looked upon him as filthy rags and you will be rejected from his presence because you've rejected his only way through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, of your flesh you can reap corruption. You can count on that. If you're living after the flesh and sowing to your flesh, you can expect to reap corruption. God will keep his word. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. He will keep his word. The word of God tells us that he that despised Moses' law was put to death if two or three people would witness against him. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose he will be accounted worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, who has counted the blood of his covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. For it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. God's word tells us that this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. The life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life, but he who has not the Son has not life. That's God's word. God is faithful to keep his word. If you will trust in Jesus Christ, God is faithful to cleanse you from all of your sin. God is faithful to account you righteous in Christ Jesus. God is faithful to give unto you eternal life. And you will live and reign with him forever and ever. But if you reject Jesus Christ, then God is also faithful to his word, and you will be shut out from the presence of God forever. God keeps his word. Joshua bore witness to the faithfulness of God keeping his word. Today, we look around, and all the way God has kept his word. Not one word of God has failed. Not one word of Scripture has failed. God has kept the word. That's the marvelous thing about the Bible. The proof of the Bible can be found anytime you want to look around. Not a single word of God has failed up to this point. And if God has been faithful up to this point, you can be sure he is going to continue to be faithful. And though heaven and earth pass away, his word shall stand forever. And he will keep his word forever. You can count on that. You can bet your life on that. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the faithfulness in keeping your promises, in keeping your word to all generations. And Lord, as we look around, we can see that your promises are yea and amen. In thee there is neither shadow nor variableness of turning. What you have said, you have done. And Lord, we thank you for the great assurance that that brings to our hearts today. For we know, Lord, that that glorious future that you have promised to us is assured, because it is based upon nothing less than your word. Lord, help us today to find that assurance, that hope, as we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be sure that God will keep his word. Does that terrify you? Then I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room. And there, ask Jesus Christ to wash you and cleanse you from your sin. For Jesus has said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And he will receive you today, and he will pardon you your sins. And you can then rejoice in the faithfulness of God to keep his word, because of the glorious hope that you have of eternal life through Jesus Christ. May God be with you and bless you. And may you experience this week the faithfulness of God as he works in your life, his glorious work. And as he fulfills to you his promise and his word, may you experience just the presence of our Lord, leading, guiding, strengthening, and blessing you in every way. So that as we come together again next Sunday, we'll say, "Oh, it's so true. Not one good word has failed, but all that he has said, he has done." God bless you and give you a fabulous week in Jesus' name.